The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Mission Minded, along with Michael Coleman. He's the Montgomery Area Food Bank CEO. And of course, they cover 35 counties here in the great state of Alabama, working with Feeding America. I'm Tony Curry. We are doing your mission, your mind, your mission. We talk about business news, non-for-profits, and everything else. And this week, we're talking about the graduating class, Michael, of 2023. If you went in as a freshman in 2019, whether that be a freshman in high school or a freshman in college, in this particular article we're talking about, we're talking college. The Wall Street Journal says that a lot of kids are having some shock as they come out and having resumes made, and of course having interview processes done with their potential suitors when it comes to business. First of all, how are you doing? Everything good? You enjoying your summer?
Very much so. You know, I love the warmer weather, and so very glad. Of course, it always pushes me to my limits in Alabama summers,
yes,
especially with the humidity. But we've been getting good amounts of rain, some cooler evenings. That's always good for the farmers, and especially when I'm in the food business, and we're always thankful for all that. But no, everything's going great.
There you go. Okay, so I want to, by the way, we take your email questions, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. You can hear the show at least five times a week on the TKR app. It's TKR app now, both on Apple and Android. You don't have to put Tony Curry Radio, just TKR to make it a little easier for you. So check that out. And of course, where we get your podcast, you can hear us 24 hours a day, 365. So a generation is defined as roughly 15 to 17 years. What would you say is the biggest disconnect in graduates now than grads we had 15 to 17 years ago? I know that's a big question, but what do you think?
Well, that is a big question.
What's the biggest difference, you think?
Well, and some of this I'm falling back on. You know, you have kind of the millennial, and when the millennials came up, they were talked about that they were soft and, you know, didn't have a work ethic. And then you have Gen Z comes along, and it's a whole different other challenge, just in terms of not knowing what expectations are and not having to adapt. I mean, on some level, you know, there's this old joke about when I was coming up, you know, you want to give your, your teenagers know everything, you know, and so you want to try, you want to give them all the important things while they still know everything, you know, all that kind of stuff. But the reality is, the people that are coming through today really don't know very much at all, especially when it comes to how to communicate, how to relate, because social media has destroyed that. Everything is done in acronyms, in short texting. You can be a real tough guy, you know, behind a keyboard, but it's very tough to communicate and reflect emotions. And so when you're there face to face with somebody and all of a sudden you're staring a boss or somebody in authority directly in the face, and you're getting these different tones, the reality is that this young generation simply doesn't know how to adapt. Oftentimes they're brought up in households where there's not a lot of discipline. They're given much more freedom than you and I could ever dream of having in a home. And then they get in the workspace, and now somebody's holding them accountable. They're not allowed to shift the blame. And so they're having to take responsibility, recognize their flaws, improve on their flaws. I tell you, that's a lot to throw at them. And it's something I've talked about before, is it's really a lot of that blame should be laid at the feet of the parents, because they're not preparing them for an outside world that they're inevitably going to face.
And I will agree with you wholeheartedly. Unfortunately, what we're seeing is a lot of parents aging out a little bit, and maybe because so many kids are not taking skill jobs and maybe not getting into the quote unquote professional world. Maybe those parents aren't around as much as they would like. You know, it's really interesting. And this article was written not so much because we're talking a bit different generations, and we certainly are. And I think that is the biggest thing, is just technology, period. We didn't have cell phones, not to the point we have them now, 15, 17 years ago. They were around, but not everyone had them. But, you know, business managers will tell you that young professionals are stiff. They talk too fast. They rely on filler words. They don't rely on deadlines, which used to be super, super important in our life. And quite frankly, they don't dress for success anymore. I remember when we first came out with Casual Fridays. I think Casual Fridays was something for non-for-profit, was it not? Was it for breast cancer awareness or something? I think it was, right? Everyone said you could put $5 in, you don't have to wear a tie on Fridays. Right. And then it turned into just a regular thing. And now no one wears ties to work. And a lot of that is because of COVID. A lot of these kids who are going into their freshman class in 2019 were just about ready to go through their first pandemic, the only pandemic hopefully we'll ever go through in this generation. And now they're coming out and they just aren't as well connected as people were in their place of business. I think in this, and it's a Wall Street Journal, I think the stat that really surprised me most, and this should tell you where we're headed, 53% of people who graduate this year said they want to work in an office, which is okay, 53%. I don't know where that is as far as in historical numbers. 21% want to work fully remote. I would bet that most people did not want to work fully remote or not even thought that was a possibility before the pandemic. Your thought on that and the fact that a fifth of our workforce doesn't even want to work with other people, what does that tell you where we're headed?
Well, it's an introvert's dream. And that's really what we found out in COVID was a lot of people can do it. And so they're like, well, wait a minute, why pay for a huge office building? We can have people work from home. And in some, like a call center, it doesn't matter. I mean, the whole job is one-on-one. And so maybe it doesn't matter. But the vast majority, if you think about what am I missing by not being in a company environment? Well, when you're in a company environment, in a healthy company environment, you have outside relationships. You learn from others, whether it's from their mistakes or their successes. You're there to interact with people and have a sense of belonging. All those are very important. But to many in our generation today, I mean, the new generation that's entering into the workforce, again, they've lived their life. They communicate with their professors through text, through email, no face-to-face. They don't deal with hard issues. They don't know how to approach somebody in authority. They certainly don't know how to coach people, like for them to take a position of authority, because they've not witnessed that in a work environment. It's so much more. It's not just about your presence there in the work environment. It's about seeing how people interact. And the thing is, you can learn from anybody. So some of the best lessons I've learned was what not to do by looking at how people interact. And I'm like, you know what? I never want to respond to people with the intensity that this person does. And so all of that helped shape me as I make my own mistakes. But so much of that I learned just by being in the presence of others and watching and listening and just being a part of good culture, being a part of bad culture. But people don't see that as value. They're like, hey, I don't like being around people anyway. I still want to make a lot of money. I want to do this. I just want to get up out of the bed, roll up out of the bed. I don't want to have to shower. I don't want to have to get dressed. I don't want to have to think about all that stuff, fighting traffic. I just want to roll up on my computer and then do my thing. And while there are some jobs that's okay, I think in the long run, it's detrimental to somebody's career, especially with the expectations of a Gen Z.
No, it depends on what field, obviously, you want to get into. And I understand that. And, you know, I'm going to take it back a little bit. And this is the whole get off my lawn moment here for me. But, you know, my father told me, you know, when you handshake, now you don't even handshake. You fist bump. I mean, you don't even handshake anymore. And that goes for pretty much everywhere, which is really hard to believe because I demand people to shake my hand. I want to feel your hand. A fist bump there's not a connection there for me. I will stick my hand out. If they stick their fist out, they don't want to shake my hand. That's fine. It says a lot about them. I don't judge them, but I'm like, okay, I know what I'm dealing with here. But you shake their hand and you look them in the eye and you say, it's nice to meet you. And people just don't do that anymore. And then you mentioned the fact that there's texting. And I mean, I found myself there's a couple of really good books out there that a lot of people, and this is what this article is about how a lot of young people, they don't even know how to email a client. You know, they're writing in these sentences, like you said, abbreviated language. You should write entire sentences. I get stuff. I get that. It's fine. I work in rock and roll radio, so it's a little different for me. But certainly when I'm writing an email or proposal, I don't you know, half A my questions and my answers. And so it's just, but here's the difference. And I'm totally in a roundabout way. You know, when it's a rainy day, I like it because I feel like it's my moment to shine. I know everyone's going to be in a bad mood. It's Monday, and rainy days and Mondays always get me down, right? And so I'm thinking, this is the day for me to shine. I tell my son, who's fixing to go to Clemson this year, listen, this world is broken. There's a lot of people that aren't stepping forward. There's not a lot of, and he's not extroverted at all. He's an introvert. He's one of those smart ticker kids. And I'm like, listen, now's the opportunity for you to really step up and show your wares and really get in front of some big groups of people. And one way to do that, and I know it's difficult for introverts, it's funny because I spoke at church for the first time yesterday. I've been reading my entire life. I have a radio voice. God bless me with that. And I've never lectured at church. And I was like, what am I doing? I'm 57 years old. I should be reading the first or second reading at church. And I did it. I was so flipping nervous yesterday. My kneecaps were cold. I could not, if you ever skydived and you got the suit on and you feel no blood in your legs, I was like, what is going on? But I remembered when I brought Robert Plant on, or I brought Eric Clapton on, or I had an interview with Paul McCartney. I remembered I got those butterflies in my stomach and I got nervous, and that's what gave me my edge. And I hope kids today realize that just because they're nervous and they need that edge, you know, Barbara Streisand, she puked every time she went on stage, but she killed it once she got up there. You just had to get that first note out. I want people to realize, and I should have been doing a commencement. I should have done a commencement this year, but I want people to realize that if they can step it up a little bit and increase some of those signaling skills, and some of those skills to read your room, and some of those skills to dress a little bit better than you think you need to. You can't outdress anybody in a business platform. And if you do those small things, you may really shine and may end up getting a much better gig than you thought you were.
Yeah, there's absolutely no doubt. And there's no shortcuts to gaining those skills.
No.
You have to experience them. You can't read everything in a book or Google everything and then go and act it out, because so much of it. Let's take it to the nonprofit world. So, of course, half my time should be spent, of a CEO's job in the nonprofit world, should be spent interacting with donors and key stakeholders. And so lots of times you're in essence selling the impact that you're doing. You're trying to get more people to come on board. And I've done capital campaigns, which is, you know, intended to raise millions of dollars. And so you're going into there talking to somebody who has the capacity to stroke a check for you for $1 million, $2 million. That's a serious meeting. And so much of it is not just about your ability to sell it, but it's also, you're going in there and you have to say, okay, I have a lot to say. I have a very short window to say it, but I also want to make sure that I don't come in and just blather out everything real quick. I have to be able to read that individual to say, is he understanding what I'm saying? Is he liking what I'm saying? Do I need to tweak? Do I need to tweak left? Do I need to tweak right? So you have to be able to evaluate and shift. And it might be a shift in direction. It might be a shift in tone. It might be the rate of speech, whatever it is. And nothing outside of you being in the room and observing that. When I was hiring for a development position a few years ago when I was in Birmingham, so many young 20s and 30s, and the salary was very competitive. But so many people who reached out to me said, oh, I'm great in marketing, like, and social media. And so we had so many people who were great on that. And I said, no, that's not developing. That's not development. That's not fundraising. Fundraising is, you're going to do research on an individual. You're going to call them up. You're going to get to know them. You're going to have to go meet with them. And you're going to have to sell our vision for the impact we're trying to make and encourage them to support us. You can't do that through an email alone. You can't do that through a text. There's just no shortcuts. You've got to do face-to-face. And it goes back to what you said. If somebody doesn't know the significance of a handshake, to this day, if I encounter somebody at a job interview and they don't give me a firm handshake, I would never hire them.
Yeah.
Because it's something my dad told me. And people who not been experienced to this may say, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. My father As often as we butted heads and didn't see eye to eye growing up, when I was growing up, he drilled it in me that when you shake somebody's hand, you shake it firmly and you stare them in the eye.
Yep.
And you introduce yourself. And he said, because if you're not willing to do that, it's going to say something about you. And I can't even always put my finger on it. But if I shake a man's hand and it's a soft shake, like almost like, I call it the old dead fish.
Yes.
Or if I shake their hand and they're looking down or they're looking away, right away, I'm like, something is wrong. I don't know what it is, but it's a character flaw that comes out through those behaviors.
Well, and if they're doing that at the age of 21, 22, and they're leaving college, you're right. They're not going to learn it in their 20s. I mean, that's something you learn at a young age. I would say 14, 15 years of age, right?
That's right.
Yeah. And I
totally get it. You may not have a dad or a mom that taught you that. I mean, I get it. People come from all sorts of different backgrounds. You don't have those kind of, and so if I do bring somebody in, like when I go to these meetings, when I go to these interactions, you know, I'm willing to bring employees along to help develop them. They don't really have a role there other than to just observe and watch and grow and learn from it. But if I have somebody who's coming in, who's trying to work in marketing and all that, it doesn't express the desire. If they're like, no, I don't want to go meet anybody. I want to stay at home. I want to be this. I want to be that. I'm like, you have no future here. You might can fulfill a role to a small degree, but if you're not willing to get out and learn all this, you're never going to progress up a company ladder. And guess what? With some people, they're fine with that. They're like, okay, yeah, fine. You give me a job that's making $40,000 a year, I'm perfect fine. But the vast majority of people are like, no, I have more to offer, but you're not going to develop those skills in a classroom. You have to develop those skills face-to-face, learning, watching, growing, learning from others' mistakes, learning from your own mistakes. And there's just no shortcuts to that kind of education.
Michael Coleman's the CEO of the Montgomery Area Food Bank. We have a special show we're going to start here late July, early August, along with the both of us. It's going to take us in a different direction. We're really, really excited about that. You can hear all the shows on TKR, the TKR app. Now you can get it through Android, just TKR. You can always get it through Tony Curry Radio, but now they're both TKR, so it's a little easier to find wherever you get your podcast. I've always told the longer you talk, the less they hear, which I think is interesting because there's a fine line between someone who not talking enough and being forceful enough and looking at your eyes when they speak to you, and then someone who's just a BSer. And I'm getting the point now where there's so many introverted people out there, and I think a lot of it has to do with COVID. Because if you were an introvert, it just pushed you down into the corner even more because you didn't have to, you know, exert yourself or go out and do things. And for people that got to get in front of rooms, and again, I mentioned the fact that I talked at a church and people are like, what are you nervous about? You've done that. I've done that thousands and thousands of times. I've been in front of 100,000 people on stage. I was nervous then too, but I'm talking at my church and I'm speaking the gospel of God. You know, he's got my back, you know, it's not, and I was still super nervous. And maybe that's why I was more nervous because I knew how important it was. Let me ask you a question. You brought something up really interesting. We've spoken about it a couple of times. You talked about your dad. I've talked about my dad. You've talked about how parents have left their kids down. I think a lot of professors, I think a lot of bosses in this country, and I'm not going to belittle COVID. Now we have 30% of people with long COVID. It was serious. It was horrible. And hopefully we'll never have to do that. But we did really relax a lot. I mean, I know some businesses where even though you were on Zoom, you had to be dressed up. You couldn't come to your Zoom call in the morning in your pajamas. It wasn't happening. I'm not saying you had to wear a suit, but everything relaxed a lot. And as a parent who's got an 11, a 16, and an 18-year-old, I know they didn't do any schoolwork for about 3 or 4 months on end. I mean, a school day is 8-9 hours. They were working maybe 30, 45 minutes. And that was 3 weeks late because no one could figure out how to get on the computer program to get everybody in the classroom at the same time. So I know they lost a lot of room. And I get that. I'm compassionate to that. I'm compassionate more so to our children than I am to the adults who actually just got lazy and know how to work a day from most of us can work remotely from home. I know you were doing it for a long period of time. It doesn't mean you have to stop asking for money and going to look for things for Jimmy Hill Mission and the Montgomery Montgomery Food Bank. You still got a work to do. How much did our parents, our professors, our bosses, how much they let us down by letting us relax a little bit too much?
Well, that's a real interesting question. I don't guess I've ever really thought about that until now when you just bring it up. I look back at my own life as a father and say, I always look back, and I guess every parent can look back with some regret. But I think so many, as each generation goes by, I think some things lessen in importance. You know, maybe you and I got those lessons because that was still such a very big deal. You know, my grandfather still never went out without a button-up shirt and a hat and a coat on. You know, it didn't matter if they were going to a ball game. It didn't matter. You know, just the casualness of society continues to change as well. And so it just seems like with each passing generation, it continues to become less and less priority. But then you're like, well, where's bottom in that situation? I had an interview here 6 months ago, and a guy shows up with about the color hair of the Scrooge. And I'm sorry, not Scrooge, the Grinch.
Yeah.
So it was a nice green furry. And I'm just sitting here saying to myself, he looked in a mirror, I'm guessing, before he left home and thought, you know what, this is a good idea. This is a good look. I'm going to go with that. And I really thought to myself, man, this guy didn't have anybody in his life to tell him, hey, this is probably not the best idea. So I try, when I look at it, I think with that guy, I mean, he's an adult and he could be getting married and he could be having children. And I'm like, well, that child, he doesn't know what to teach his child. And so I just think with each passing generation, some of those things that were staples in our world, I mean, just everybody knew it. I mean, and now today, so many of those skill sets are devalued. And, it's hard to say who exactly is to blame, or is it just society overall? Is it we're all kind of falling prey? I mean, you look at churches today, and I'm no different. I mean, I used to make sure that I had a coat and a tie every time I went to church. And now today, I'm the first one to come in with jeans, with my shirt hanging. I mean, just no standards whatsoever. And it's just part of our world. But I also know that if I'm having a meeting with an important donor or a dignitary or an elected official or something like that, that there's a certain, or I'm going to go to a conference, that there's a protocol, there's an appropriate way to dress. And I think without the right leadership, in a business and all that, these young people who are coming in the business world who want to stay remotely, I'm just bringing it back around full circle,
mm-hmm.
They're not going to get access to all that. They're not going to learn how to, because I look at us at the food bank and I say, look, for the most part, we are pretty casual. I mean, there's people working in the warehouses. I don't expect them to be, you know, they're going to dress appropriately and comfortable for warehouse work. It's just very difficult for people who aren't in the environment, if you're at home, to know when you are forced into an environment, what is the appropriate way to look, to dress, to speak, and how you adapt when things are differently. I will tell you this just real quick. I'm reminded of one of the most awkward conversations I ever had as a donor. And I reached out to a guy, and I thought – I left a voicemail and he called me back and I went to go see him. And I just was told him, he's this company owner. He had 500 people working for him. I mean, this is a huge company. And he had kind of long, stringy, dirty hair.
Mm-hmm.
But he had no personality at all. I mean, he was introverted. He didn't communicate. So I go in there very excited with myself. And I'm like, hey, so thank you so much for your past support. And I'm pitching him this vision. And he just, he's not saying anything. I'm not getting any facial expressions. I mean, he is just sitting there, and I'm like, okay.
Wow.
What is he telling me? Is he telling me that he's not interested? That's what he's communicating, but is he meaning to communicate that?
Yeah.
So then I had to slow down and maybe start asking some probing questions to see if I could get him talking. And so it was that kind of adjustment. But even for me, and I've dealt with one-on-one 1,000 different times, it was so awkward for me. And I thought to myself, can you imagine if an introvert with not much experience went in that same guy? I mean, you'd have two guys sitting there just staring at each other. So,
did you get the money?
I did.
Okay, there you go.
As a matter of fact, I was able to bring it around, but I ended up going with like choice number four.
Yeah.
For how do I reach this guy? I mean, I kept adjusting and I kept twisting and I kept approaching it from different ways. So I found something that clicked with him. But that's how important it is. Now, I know everybody's not fundraising, but I look at fundraising like in sales. And if you're selling something, and I just sell impact of what we're doing in the nonprofit world. Well, if you're in sales or you're dealing with customer service or you're dealing with outside people, it's not going to be black and white. Everybody's different. They're going to come at you with different tones, different moves, different things happening in their lives. And you got to know how to read people. And that I keep going back to, there's just no shortcuts that you have to expose yourself to people and learn how to effectively communicate if you're ever going to go up the leadership ladder.
And I think there's this feeling, he is Michael Coleman. Love this conversation. It's based off a Wall Street Journal article that came out saying the 2019 kids who are freshmen, whether it was high school when they're getting to skill positions or into college looking for that professional gig, now they're coming out in 2023 and they're just not prepared. Their skill sets aren't there. They can't read a room. They don't know signaling. They want to work remotely. They've become more introverted, for lack of a better phrase. And something was, and I was, one of my associates just walked in the studio and wrote on a piece of paper. It was actually my son. He said, what about the difference in jobs now? It's like people are working different jobs now, Dad. They don't do the same things that they did 20 years ago. And maybe because there's more computer technology, it's more isolated. There are more jobs where you can work in solitude. I say hooey on that. I mean, first of all, if you're going to college, you're not going to college to become a cashier. Or a food preparation worker or a stocking associate. I get that. Or a laborer. Those are skilled jobs. I realize that. So that's why, to me, it's even more important that you've got it together, because guess what? If you can't get a job out of college, you are going to be stocking shelves at Publix. And I'm not saying that's not a good job. Some people actually like that. What's funny to me is the ones that are going to get the college education to make the big bucks should be the ones that need to step it up so they are able to make the big bucks and be as extrovert as possible. Whereas the ones that I have the most amazing conversations with are the ones that are the skilled job people. I know I'm broad brushing here, but I mean, I can have a conversation with a stock boy at Publix all day long. And sometimes I walk into my, Fidelity investment guy, and I don't even know if he's even looking. I can't tell if he's even paying attention to me. I'm like, dude, you're making $600,000 a year by taking care of my portfolio, and you can't even say how you doing or shake my hand. Meanwhile, I can get out of the McDonald's and have a wonderful conversation with the janitor out in the parking lot. It's just amazing. Maybe I don't know what that means. I don't know what that says. I just needed to say that. So I don't think.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say something that's real important that I have communicated with, because the person that's probably closest here that kind of keeps me straight is the exact opposite of me. And we've talked about it in other episodes. I like to surround myself with people. I don't need another me. I need people opposite of me. And she is an introvert, but she and I both talked about this. She would like to come to work, shut her door, and just do a work on paperwork and tasks all day long and not have to deal with people. But I've told her that, and I'm the exact opposite. And she knows I have budgets to do sometimes, and I have to get in and go line by line on spreadsheets. It just sucks the life out of me. But we both have to discipline ourselves. It's healthy for us, for me to put myself in an introverted situation, her in an extroverted situation. But it's like a rubber band. When you stretch a rubber band, I mean, that's what it's for, but you don't want to stretch somebody who's an introvert and stretch them into an extrovert and force them to live there. It's healthy to stretch them into those examples, but then let them go back. So for bosses out there, if you've got an introvert, it's healthy for you to force them into an extroverted situation or lead them into an extroverted situation. But don't force somebody to stay there because they're going to end up being a miserable employee. So if I had somebody who wanted to work from home and they could do their job, I would still have times that they had to come in and interact with other personnel, or they went on sales calls or just something, to where they got a chance to grow professionally through watching that, and vice versa. I think it's important that people who are extroverts, who just are people and just want to shake hands all day and all that kind of stuff, be made to get down and get in the nitty gritty and get in the weeds. Both of those are professional development. They're painful as can be because they conflict with how our personalities are, but it's so helpful in terms of overall development.
Michael, as always, great stuff. We're out of time. Can't wait to start this new show here in a couple of weeks. We'll do this show, Mission Minded, again next week. Tell people how they can call you, get in touch with you, the Montgomery Area Food Bank, and help out a little bit.
Yeah, jump on MAFB.org, and we're there. And we've got a big announcement on a name change coming up. And
nice.
Excited about that in a few weeks. Excited about our new podcast that we're going to be putting together. And, you find me on LinkedIn. And but if you go to our website and want to shoot me a personal email, but send any questions that you have or any thoughts that you have to Tony Curry, info@TonyCurry.net. And we'll be sure to get to your questions in upcoming episodes. But thank you all for listening and being a part of the show.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.